Welcome to English Digest, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom, and today we're going to talk about fashion, but not so much about clothes. We're going to talk about smells.
Good smells. Smells that are really attractive to people. We're going to be talking about perfume. Now, when we use the word perfume, guys, I wanted to explain this for a minute. We're talking about fragrances that women wear. If a guy puts on something that makes him smell better, you know, after he shaves or something, it's a cologne or an aftershave. It's certainly not perfume. You would never say, oh, I'm going to get my boyfriend a bottle of perfume. Perfume is only for women.
That's right. Men use cologne and women use perfume, supposedly. I do smell women from time to time, and they do use perfume, but not always. It's a kind of up to the individual whether he or she wants to use perfume or not. I don't really use any kind of a cologne myself. Do you use perfume at all, Steph?
I have a favorite. It's called Alfred Sung. And I found it, about 10, 15 years ago. I love it. And I haven't changed it. I love the smell. I like lighter scents. My mom and my sister, two of the girls in my family, I have other sisters, they tend to wear this really heavy perfume. And it gives me a headache. Mine's light and smells more flowery.
Can't really smell it from here across the table from
That's
you,
good.
But maybe after the show I'll step a little closer and see what it smells like.
You don't need to do that. So anyway, folks, let's get going. We're going to follow our nose through history. We're going to talk about the history behind perfume. There have been a couple of movies made about people who were expert at making perfume. It's kind of interesting, and there aren't many people in the world who are involved in this particular industry. You have to have a very talented nose, but we'll talk more about that later. Let's go ahead and get started. We'll read through our lesson and then we'll be back.
When the glamorous Hollywood actress and sex symbol Marilyn Monroe was once asked what she wore in bed, she replied with the immortal words, Chanel No. 5, of course. She wasn't referring to her pajamas, but one of the most recognized brands of a product that has come to be indispensable to many, perfume. Man has been trying to smell sweeter by creating perfumes ever since the time of the first major civilizations in Mesopotamia and Egypt. The world's earliest known perfume maker was a Mesopotamian chemist called Tepudi, who lived around 1200 BC. She distilled various flowers and oils to produce pleasant scents. Later on, the art of perfumery was refined by the Persians and the Romans. Indeed, the word perfume is derived from the language of the Romans, Latin, and means through smoke. The oldest specimen of perfume, discovered on the island of Cyprus, has been dated back to 4,000 years ago. In the Middle Ages, most developments in perfume manufacture took place in Europe. In 1370, a Hungarian queen requested a special blend of scented oils to be made for her, a mixture that came to be known throughout Europe as Hungary water. Later, in 15th century Italy, wealthy aristocrats and royalty took to spraying themselves with perfume, perhaps to mask unpleasant body odors resulting from the comparatively infrequent bathing habits back then. By the 16th century, though, France had become the leader of the perfume industry, a position which it still very much holds to this day.
Now, there's a great story about an old Hollywood actress. She's no longer with us. She died long ago. Her name was Marilyn Monroe, and this story goes that someone once asked her what she wore in bed. Maybe they were expecting to hear she had this beautiful nightgown or negligee or even pajamas, which I doubt she ever even owned. And they were kind of shocked when she replied with some words that are now considered to be immortal, meaning they'll never die. People will never forget her response. It was so fun. All she said was, Chanel No. 5, of course. Chanel No. 5 is made by the company Chanel, which makes fashion and also perfumes. And No. 5 is a particular perfume that they make. And after she responded with those words, back in the 1950s when Marilyn Monroe was around, ladies heard this and they thought, oh, I must go out and buy this Chanel No. 5. I want to be as sexy as Marilyn Monroe. Now, here our article describes her as being glamorous. How would you describe someone who's glamorous, Tom?
Someone who's very fashionable and very pretty, very physically attractive, very glamorous. And she was glamorous as well. She was also a sex symbol. So when people thought of a woman or a beautiful woman, they thought of her. And, well, these words that she spoke were immortal, which means they're never going to die. Chanel No. 5, of course, so she'll always be quoted as saying that. Well, she wasn't referring to her pajamas, but she was referring to one of the most recognized brands of a product that has come to be indispensable to many, and that's perfume. So, of course, pajamas are the kinds of clothing you wear to bed, and this particular brand is Chanel. When I was a kid, I thought it was Channel, but I was later corrected. Oh, you dummy, that's Chanel.
It's French,
yeah. Of course, French words have to be pronounced a very special way. And I guess they have several different formulas here, probably 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Number 5 is it.
That's
it's
the only one
most,
they have?
It's their most popular brand ever. Chanel was actually a woman who was a fashion designer. And she later on created this perfume. So it's very glamorous. And if you want to be glamorous, and it's still around, this perfume has been out on the market forever. So this is the perfume that a lot of people still buy.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's very recognized, as you said. Lots of people know about this brand. And it's also come to be indispensable to many. If something is indispensable to somebody, it's something they cannot do without. They can't live without it. They've got to have it. For example, Stephanie here has to have the Yankees reports every day. They are indispensable to her. She needs to know about it every day on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, my laptop is also indispensable to me. That's how I get my Yankees news, is on my laptop. I know you guys have ESPN reports here, but I tend to like a couple of the blogs I've found. So if something's indispensable to you, you have to have it. It's absolutely necessary. And some ladies honestly won't leave the house without their perfume applied or sprayed before they leave.
Some women, I must add, though, they overdo it with the perfume.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they should use the method that my wife uses. What she does is she sprays it in the air, and then she just kind of gently walks through it. So it kind of, applies it very mildly to all parts of her body there. And I think that's very effective. It doesn't overdo it. But, of course, everybody has their own methods, and perfume is indispensable to some people.
You know, we have a saying, guys, that we use sometimes, that less is more. Well, with perfume, you don't want to put on too much, or you give people around you headaches. It's really uncomfortable, so be careful, especially if you're living in a large city like Taipei or New York. You know, you're around crowds a lot. No one wants to smell your perfume.
Well, I suppose, you know, it's not against the law to do that.
No.
So maybe they're doing that on purpose. Maybe they just want other people to have headaches and leave them alone. Who knows? Well, in any case, here we're talking about man here. That just refers to all people, humanity, everyone, man or human beings. A man has been trying to smell sweeter by creating perfumes ever since the time of the first major civilizations in Mesopotamia and Egypt. Okay, so they're not necessarily wanting to smell like sugar here, but to smell sweet just means to smell agreeable or to smell nice. And if we're talking about the first major civilizations, well, we're talking about organized society. People weren't just separate, growing food and killing animals on their own. They were organized. They got together and said, okay, let's have a society here. Let's have a police force. Let's have a government. Let's all work together. So that's what a civilization is. And one of the first major ones was in Mesopotamia, which I believe is the Greek word that means between two rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, which is in modern-day Iraq. And so there have been many civilizations in that area. I think Babylonia was there, and the Assyrians were there, and all sorts of other folks, and the Persians too.
Now, the world's earliest known perfume maker was a Mesopotamian chemist. A chemist is someone who puts liquids and chemicals together. Her name was called Tipputi, and she lived around 1200 BC, so quite a while ago. Now, what she did was she distilled various flowers and oils to produce pleasant scents. When you distill something, you make a liquid into gas, you boil it, and then you collect it. We use this verb a lot when we talk about making alcohol. And it's similar in making perfume. You distill these various scents and oils. Well, she used flowers and oils, and she would produce pleasant scents. A scent here is a noun. It means a smell, but we usually use scent to talk about something that's pleasant. We have several words to describe smells, and we'll talk about these different vocabulary words through our lesson. But a smell here is usually pleasant if you talk about a scent. The scent of someone's perfume, the scent of flowers. Or maybe you could talk about how criminals will often be tracked down by dogs because dogs follow their particular scent or smell. You've probably seen that on TV shows and movies where they'll take a piece of clothing someone wore to find them, and a dog will follow that scent until he finds that person.
Mm-hmm. We might also be talking about an Al Pacino movie about 10 years ago called Scent of a Woman. So again, this person back around 1200 BC was a chemist, and she distilled these various flowers and oils together in order to produce these pleasant scents. You could also say aromas. Okay, I think we'll talk up to here right now, folks. We'll take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be right back to continue with our lesson for today.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 从今天开始，连续两天我们要探讨的主题呢，就是 perfume。而如果我们讲到一瓶香水，我们就可以说 a bottle of perfume。而比较昂贵的香水呢，就可以称之为 expensive perfumes。其实 perfume 这个字呢，它可以用来当作是可数的单数名词，或者是不可数咯。我们来看一下，在第一段里面呢，提到一个非常有名的场景。这里讲到 When the glamorous Hollywood actress and sex symbol Marilyn Monroe was once asked what she wore in bed, she replied with the immortal words Chanel No. 5, of course. 所以这里提到的呢，是好莱坞非常有名的一个女明星玛丽莲梦露，她有一次被问到，当她呢躺在床上睡觉的时候，她都穿什么东西呢？而她的回答则是这个非常隽永的这几个字 Chanel No. 5, of course。 而在这里就带出来，当我们讲到穿戴或者是抹香水的时候呢，就可以使用动词 wear perfume。 而从这样子的介绍就知道了这个香水对于女人的重要性咯。而这所谓的 Chanel No. 5就是 one of the most recognized brands of a product that has come to be indispensable to many perfume。 这里面呢，当然指的是在所有品牌当中最有识别度的其中一项商品。而这样子的商品呢，That has come to be indispensable to many. Indispensable 代表着呢，就是不可或缺的，所以它已经呢，对许多人来讲是相当不可或缺的一项产品咯。其实在接下来的文章，我们会讲到所有跟香味有关系的名词，你可以使用 perfume 或者是 fragrance, scent, 或者是你要强调比较浓郁的香味，也可以使用 aroma 这个字。而后面呢，我们接下来就要探讨香水到底它的历史来源是什么。这里提到 The world's earliest known perfume maker was a Mesopotamian chemist called Tipputi who lived around 1200 BC。这里其实是最早呢，这位化学家他呢大概是生于西元前1200年，他大概就是最早所谓人知的 perfume maker。 那他是怎么样做到的呢？这里就提到 She distilled various flowers and oils to produce pleasant scents。 他就是利用蒸馏的方式呢，才提炼出这些迷人的香味。
We're gonna take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. Today we are following our noses through history. We're looking for scents. No, we're not bloodhounds. We're not police dogs looking for criminals. We're talking about the history of perfume in our unit on fashion. We began with the example of Marilyn Monroe. She said that she only wears Chanel No. 5 to bed, and those words are immortal now. And of course, Chanel is a recognized brand. It's indispensable to many people, especially women, and that's perfume, of course, we're talking about in general. There are other brands besides Chanel. Well, people have been trying to smell sweeter for a long time. Going back to Mesopotamia, we had a chemist named Tiputi, and she put together all these different kinds of flowers and oils, and she was trying to produce these pleasant scents that people could apply to their bodies in order to make themselves more presentable to others. Well, later on, the art of perfumery was refined by the Persians and the Romans. So here we have the word to refine. That just means to make something better, to make it closer to being perfect. So, for example, if you get crude oil, you can't just put it in your car and burn it. It needs to be refined. It needs to be treated and prepared in a special way.
Well, she would refine these things, and the Persians made it even better. Now, the word perfume itself comes from or is derived from the language of the Romans, which is Latin, and it means through smoke. Now, remember, we talked about how perfumes are distilled. Well, when you make a liquid into gas by boiling it, it kind of is a gas. This is where this word comes from. Now, to be derived from simply means to come from something, to originate from that place, or how you get something or obtain something. For example, most of my income is derived from recording work. That's where most of my income comes from. Well, this word is derived from Latin. Again, it means through smoke. The oldest specimen of perfume was discovered on the island of Cyprus, and they've dated this perfume back to 4,000 years ago. It's really, really old.
Wow.
Now, a specimen here just means something that comes from a larger group. For example, when you go to the doctor to have a physical and he wants to check on you, maybe he wants a specimen of fluid like blood from you, so then he can take that to test it. He doesn't want all your blood. He just wants a specimen or a small sample. And that's what they had here, just a small sample of very old perfume that was discovered on the island of Cyprus.
Right, and that dated back to 4,000 years ago, so somehow they were able to figure out that there was this perfume on the island of Cyprus 4,000 years ago. Maybe there was an old perfume bottle or something like that, or some kind of petrified perfume, who knows? But again, that's an old specimen of perfume going back 4,000 years. Now, let's move up to the Middle Ages now. The Middle Ages took place about, between the years of 1100 and 1400. And in the Middle Ages, most developments in perfume manufacture happened in Europe, or took place in Europe. Now, let's go to Hungary. That's a country in Eastern Europe. I believe they call themselves Magyar in their own language, but to the rest of us, it's Hungary. And in the year 1370, a queen there in Hungary requested a special blend of scented oils to be made for her. So, of course, we have a queen in Hungary there, and she wanted a special blend of these oils. So if we talk about a blend of something, we're talking about a mixture of different things. If you don't like to have only the one thing, maybe you can have a mixture of different things or a blend of different things. Like some Scottish whiskey is a blend of different kinds of grain and things like that, not a single malt. There are ones that are not a blend, they're a single malt, but then there are other ones that are blends or mixtures of things. Well, she wanted a blend of scented oils, different kinds of oils mixed together to produce a very unique fragrance that nobody else had smelled before. And if she put it on her body, people would go, wow, you smell really cool. I've never smelled that scent before.
Well, it became really popular and people started calling it Hungary water. So this mixture must have been pretty wonderful and it smelled terrific. So people really had heard of this throughout all of Europe. It was called again Hungary water. Now later in the 15th century there in Italy, there were some wealthy aristocrats and royalty. And it says here that they took to spraying themselves with perfume, perhaps to mask unpleasant body odors. Now remember, we're talking about long ago when people really didn't bathe and shower very much. I'm so glad I didn't live back then. It was probably horrible to smell these people. You know, they didn't wash their hair, they wore those wigs, and they didn't bathe much. It was pretty horrible. Well, they would use perfume to spray themselves and try to mask body odors. Let's take a look at some of these words here. Now, an aristocrat, of course, is someone who belongs to the highest social class. And royalty is all of those people who are nobility, like the kings and the queens and princes and princesses. Well, they had to have enough money to buy perfume to begin with. So those were the people back then who could afford perfume. Now, to take to something is a verb phrase we use to mean we're going to start doing something. And sometimes we start doing it pretty regularly. For example, I could say, I've taken to getting up at 5 a.m. every day and going jogging. It's not true, but it just means that's something I've started to do regularly. Well, what they started to do pretty regularly was to spray themselves with perfume. And why did they need to do that, Tom?
Well, maybe it was to mask unpleasant body odors. To mask something just means to cover it so that you can't tell it's there. So maybe they smelled really bad or smelled badly and they didn't want other people to think they stunk. So they would put this perfume on to mask those unpleasant body odors. Mask here is being used as a verb, but it also can be used as a noun. That's something you wear on your face when you go trick-or-treating on Halloween.
You know what? I wanted to mention something too, listeners. This verb phrase, take to, we use it in a different way too, and you'll hear it quite often. If you take to somebody or take to something, it means you start liking it. Maybe you have a new hobby. For example, recently I've really taken to yoga. I like it. I like doing it. Or you take to a person. You really enjoy their company. I've really taken to Tom lately. Actually,
really?
I've known him too long. I took to him long, long ago, which just means I started liking him a long time ago. So there are different ways to use this verb phrase. But back to mask. They wanted to cover up these horrible body odors that their bodies were giving off.
And those odors resulted from the comparatively infrequent bathing habits that they had back then. So comparatively, you could also say relatively, when you're comparing the frequency of bathing between then and now, then you're going to have some different kinds of situations there. So back then, I suppose they thought that if they took a bath once a month, that was a lot. You bathe once a month? Wow, that's a lot. But nowadays, people, especially during the summer right now, they might actually bathe twice or maybe even three times a day. So that's comparatively infrequent when we think about how often we bathe nowadays. And of course, if you did not bathe very often back then, you probably smelled really bad, and therefore you had to have this perfume on to mask those unpleasant body odors. Gee, it sounds like it would have made more sense for them just to bathe more often, then they could have saved their money on the perfume.
Well, they didn't have indoor plumbing, so bathing was kind of hard for them back then, and I just don't think they thought it was important. Now, remember at the beginning of our program, we talked about how we were going to learn different types of vocabulary words which meant smell. Odor's one of them. But odor, remember that it's a smell, but we use it to talk about an unpleasant smell. A scent can be both. But be careful with odor. If you say to someone, ooh, your odor's great today, that's a terrible way to say someone smells bad. Or maybe you're trying to say they smell good. So be careful with the type of word you choose. Okay, listeners, it's time for a Chinese teacher.
接下来呢，就告诉我们 perfume 这个字是怎么来的。这里提到 The word perfume is derived from the language of the Romans, Latin, and means through smoke. 而这里的 be derived from 就是代表着从某物当中取得或者是获得咯。而 perfume 这个字就是来自于 Romans 以及 Latin 它的来源，而它的意思呢就是穿过烟雾的意思。再继续往下面看，甚至提到呢，在中世纪大多数的香水制造的发展其实都是在欧洲这个地方。In 1370, a Hungarian queen requested a special blend of scented oils to be made for her, a mixture that came to be known throughout Europe as Hungary water. 当时呢，在匈牙利有一个皇后，她就要求呢，要特地的为她制造特殊的香精油。而在这里的 request 就是有要求跟请求，你可以 request somebody to do something， 或者在 request 后面用 that 来加上子句。举个例子来说，他们特别的要求呢，警方要逮捕这个嫌犯，你就可以说 They specifically request that the police should arrest the suspect。而后来的香精油也在欧洲呢非常的有名，大家称之为 Hungary water。 而稍后呢，到了15世纪的意大利， Wealthy aristocrats and royalty took to spraying themselves with perfume, perhaps to mask unpleasant body odors resulting from the comparatively infrequent bathing habits back then。而15世纪的意大利呢，这些有钱的贵族以及皇室呢 took to spraying themselves with perfume。 在这里的片语 take to doing something 指的呢就是开始养成怎样的习惯，他们呢会开始使用香水喷在自己的身上，因为想要 mask， 想要遮掩呢这种令人觉得不悦的身体上面的一些味道。因为当时啊，他们其实呢不是那么样的常洗澡，于是为了遮盖身体上的臭味，他们就会 spraying themselves with perfume。 而稍后到了16世纪呢， France had become the leader of the perfume industry。 从16世纪开始呢，这个法国啊就成为了这个香水制造商的领导者，和这个位置到现在都一直维持着。
We've got more to share with you about the history of perfume. We hope you'll join us for our next lesson when we'll continue talking about following our noses through history. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
Bye! Bye.